All right, my next guest is a Grammy and Emmy-nominated singer-songwriter and performer who's been performing for over 30 years. I'm talking about none other than Peter Himmelman.
I was speaking to you with my voice. You were speaking to me by choosing letters with your eyebrow. You didn't have no choice, and yet you had an attitude like that's just the way that it goes now. I started talking to you about the fish swimming in your aquarium. But all the while I wanted to take away your pain. Susan, I owe you an apology. Susan.
Chicagoans are familiar with that track, as well as Peter Himmelman, the Minneapolis-born rocker. He's played all over town. He was in heavy rotation for a long time at WXRT in town. But Peter Himmelman has remade himself, not only as a performer, but an author, speaker, and business owner. In part, Himmelman lived his dream and wants to help you unlock yours. The new book is called Let Me Out, Unlock Your Creative Mind and Bring Your Ideas to Life. Himmelman is in town for sessions at Chicago Ideas Week. He's my guest in studio. Peter Himmelman, welcome to The Download.
Thank you, Justin.
Great to have you.
It's great to have you, too. I didn't realize how close my hotel was to you guys.
There you go. That's the beauty of downtown Chicago. But, you know, it's amazing. When I say heavy rotation, I mean, Chicagoans really do know you very well, your music very well, thanks to WXRT, but yeah. Also for you touring for how many years coming to Chicago. How special is it to be back in Chicago for Chicago Ideas Week after living out this for 30 years touring?
It's really good. I mean, you know, I love this town. I mean, you know, you could say that, be obsequious, but in so many ways, I really do. I mean, I'm from Minneapolis, so we would come to Chicago. I forget where we played. We played at a club where we went on stage. It was like a punk club. Maybe we were 17, and we went on stage at 4 in the morning. The only people that were there were my two cousins, you know, but gotta love that.
Well, let's talk about your music career, because, you know, you are here because you're at Chicago Ideas Week, really, really talking about ideas and talking about your business. I'm fascinated on sort of your transition. So let's just get right up to speed. Like, why are you done? You're not done with music, but why the transition?
Well, I mean, right. I'm not done. Sometimes people, you've switched. It's just kind of you extend yourself and you synergize one creative endeavor and let it sort of empower another. So a couple reasons. One is, and I ask you this question, you've been in radio a lot, so you're sort of a music mm-hmm. aficionado. When is the last time you have listened, to the exclusion of all other activities, a full album, something in its entirety?
Right, right. Probably. I couldn't even tell you.
You know, case in point. So right. There's one reason, which is, as a creative type, and we're all creative types, all of us humans, we do things for our own intrinsic joy, for sure, but we also do things that resonate with other people. If you were sitting here talking into that microphone and there was nobody listening at the other end, it would get quite tiresome. So there's that sense, on one hand, of not being sort of valued, this idea, this thing that I've done so many times and found so many wonderful pathways in, and it brought me so much joy. It's not a thing that people are enjoying in a certain way any longer. I mean, that's putting it a bit coldly, but you ask anyone, when is the last time they have really sat and enjoyed a record as they once did in the
past? And as a musician, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're crafting, your art is crafting sort of a full-length album.
That's the art form. Yeah. And strangely, as much as people aren't, you know, processing an album in its entirety, people still continue to make them. I don't even understand why that is. Maybe just they enjoy it, or it's a habit. The other factor, it was a little bit more sort of, you might say, practical. From a remunerative point of view, well, I'll put it this way. I have a cousin. He's a diamond dealer in, like, you know, Highland Park or northern suburb of Chicago. And he asked me not more than a year ago, Peter, what's the deal with the music business? You know, it's totally disrupted. I told him, okay, imagine you're cupping your hands. His name is Yitzhak. You're cupping your hands under your computer, and into your hands fall all the diamonds you've been trying so hard to sell, and anyone in the world can get them for free, and they're infinitely reproducible with no loss in quality. And he just looked at me and goes, that's a problem, you know, like it is. So I also had three kids going into school, colleges at one time, basically, you know, a couple years apart, which is like a tornado of cash going out of the house. So like many people, and I was 52 at the time, as 4 years ago. And I sort of had it, I had to really rethink, well, what are the resources that I have? What are the skills that I have? What value can I bring to other people?
It's amazing, too, because, and you talk about this in the book, the concept of, okay, you came up with an idea. You came up for Big Muse, and we'll talk about that. And you had an idea for, okay, I'm going to take what I've learned about creativity and being able to effectively and efficiently produce, because that's what you do as a musician, creating songs and albums.
Right.
But it wasn't, it's easier said than done. I mean, you sat on it for a couple of years. It wasn't like you just went, bing, I got a new idea, I'm going to do that. I mean, that's partially what you're talking about in this book, that even you, the person who's putting this together and telling people how to unlock their creativity, you even had a problem with sort of starting it up.
Yeah, I mean, and I dare say that I will continue to have a problem for the rest of my life. I mean, you know, for better or worse, my book is not a book that tells you you're going to read it and you're going to fundamentally change who you are. I, myself, am by nature a pretty anxious person. You know, I wake up at night, I can't sleep well, I have a lot of uncertainty, and I don't imagine that'll ever change. What I do think has changed with me, and what I'm hoping to change with other people, I've been kind of conscious of a process of sort of allaying or setting aside those fears for hours at a time, not years, and then accumulating all sorts of, you know, experiences within those sort of fear-free hours. And eventually they turn into something, right. But it's bit by bit.
I mean, for you as a songwriter, as someone who's put together albums, I mean, there's a process to that. And that's what I think is great. I mean, we talk about the company and the book. You're really sort of talking about how to unlock it, how to sort of put a process, how to deal with all the things that go with taking something that is in us, being creative, and actually accomplishing it.
Right. And maybe a good place to jump in if you want to get deep on this. Because
I do.
I remember as a kid, I was a strange kid. I'm a strange adult. And I used to sit around by myself, and I was interested in just the way that words lost their meaning. So I would sit and say a word like rope over and over,
over
again,
and over, right.
You know, until it just became some dead syllabic utterance. It just, and in some ways, people want to be creative. And I work with a lot of companies, from Honeywell and 3M and Adobe, and everyone wants to be more creative. And I kind of, what does it mean? And the first thing that we often think about is, I play the piano, this guy here before played the bass clarinet, and those are our creative people, and the people that carry our mail, maybe people in the armed forces, maybe actuaries and insurance people, maybe they're not creative. And what I found is none of it's true. Human beings, our birthright is creativity. Once, and this is my axiom, and I put it forth in many ways in the book, once we can set aside our fear, and I'll go into what that fear is about, once we can set it aside and we're having sort of an experience where we're unfettered by our own apprehensions, we are then immediately creative. It doesn't mean we're going to choreograph a ballet or write a poem.
There's a lot of skill that goes into that,
but,
right?
But, yes, and right. Whatever your skill sets are,
right.
You will be able to then evince them, you know, more succinctly, more with more depth.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, there's a big part, a lot of the book is about sort of categorizing or removing fear from the process. The book is called Let Me Out, Unlock Your Creative Mind and Bring Your Ideas to Life. The author is Peter Himmelman, the great singer-songwriter, Grammy and Emmy nominated for his work. We'll continue our conversation. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Peter Himmelman here on The Download. Stay with us. My guest in studio tonight here on The Download, Peter Himmelman. I mean, I grew up here in Chicago, and we listened to radio stations, and your music was played nonstop in this town. It was a pleasure to It's a pleasure to meet you, and it's also a pleasure to hear these tracks again in my headphones. But you are here because you're an author of the book Let Me Out, Unlock Your Creative Mind and Bring Your Ideas to Life. And it really is, and we pick up this idea of almost a blueprint, if you will, to how to unlock creativity in any of us. Because it's not, like you said right before the break, there is this weird idea that there's only a creative people or a creative class and everybody else is somewhere else. And that's not what you say. No, creativity is in all of us. It's about how you deal with the fears and the other things that sort of circle around, that sort of block creativity from getting through.
Yeah, I'm kind of, the other thing I'm thinking about is almost slightly subversive in a way, you know, that we are so used to being entertained by an entertainment class and, you know, our politicians are professionals and the people that make our things are, you know, we're just consumers. And turning that off for a little bit and turning it around and inverting it and becoming somebody who makes things him or herself is a great, great joy. Even if it's, you know, cooking, and even if it's having a very depthful conversation with somebody, a lost art, mm-hmm. that is an entirely creative endeavor.
I'm interested because, you know, they talk about all the distractions and the things that get in the way. I mean, you have a whole, you sort of go into communication, you go into sort of the idea of finishing projects. That's a big part of what you're trying to unlock. Another, which I found really interesting in the book, was about sort of stepping back from technology. Technology is really a useful tool for a lot of creative people, and it's obviously in our lives and smartphones and everything that's in front of us. But you argue that it's somewhat as a it gets in the way. I mean, it's something that actually stops us from being creative and almost blocks that opportunity.
Well, I mean, one thing, if you just kind of reduce it to something very simple, you have inputs and outputs. The way that things are going today, because it's so commercialized, there's so many inputs. There's so many more inputs than our own output. We're constantly bombarded with ideas really about our own deficiency. And that's a great way to sell something. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. Mm-hmm. You're not strong enough. You're not sexy enough. So all these things are available everywhere you turn, on every screen, on every device. It's not only they're selling you things. In order to sell them, they're telling us what we lack. And it's frankly quite depressing. So, I mean, I talk about in the book something that, you know, I haven't talked much about in public, but for 30 years, I've kept the Jewish Sabbath. So for those of you who don't quite know what that is, for every Friday night to Saturday night, no matter what, I never have played live. There's all these kind of rules restricting what you can do. So you don't use electric devices. You
can't
don't
drive.
Car,
right.
Switch on a light. You don't cook. And all these restrictions. But really, in a certain sense, I look at them as very proactive, the same way an artist would paint and paint and paint and paint. And one of the very important parts of painting, and I use this as a metaphor for our own life, is to step back away from that painting and get some perspective on it. So I figure that with these Jewish holidays, along with the Sabbath, there's about 64 or so days per year. For 30 years, it gives me about 7 whole years, literally off the grid.
Wow.
And I also ask people, you know, who do you know that regularly puts their cell phone away for 24 hours, you know, no matter what? It's less and less, you don't find it very often. It's almost like an insane thing to do. And I don't encourage all people to take on something this strident. But I say in the book, pick a time where you're going to go for 10 hours or 4 hours without touching that thing and have a conversation with somebody, you know, make love, make spaghetti. I mean, do something,
make something
else.
Right. Well, I mean, there's so much in this book, you know, the things that I took away were things like the technology, but also the you have a chapter on self-worth. And it seems like at the end of the day, this is as much about unlocking creativity as it is about sort of motivation. And it is about self-love in a way that the self-worth and the curse of comparison, the concept that, you know, a lot of our creative endeavors, you will sort of always compare it to whoever else is doing something in the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you as a musician have to do that. But also this concept that there are a lot of forces at play that want to sort of mess with our self-worth.
Yeah. One of the central themes of the book, you know, I do want to touch on is this character that I created. It's like a cartoon character. And I called him Marv. And I didn't, you know, at first didn't quite understand why I did. It was the first thing that popped out. He is the voice of fear inside us. It's like the voice of fear that comes on the radio station. And, you know, he says, well, I'm going to be talking to Justin. And the guy's pretty smart. And I'm trading on my stock as a rock musician. But compared to Springsteen, I'm nothing. I mean, you know. And Marv is saying, if you go on that station, WGN, with Justin, you could fail. And if you fail, you will be ashamed. He's taking me through a whole thing, and I'm transfixed by what he has say. And if you're ashamed from your failure, you'll be abandoned. And then he goes to the final step, which is, by the way, Marv is an acronym for majorly afraid of revealing vulnerability. And it is is some sort of, you know, energetic force in our amygdala, our limbic or primitive brain, who is there to protect us. And he goes one step from abandonment. He says, when you were pre-verbal, an infant, abandonment you intuited on some level meant your own death.
Jeez.
And our fear of moving ahead in life is not some small thing. It really is attached to a mortal fear. And the way we counter Marv is that we don't kill him. We respect that he's trying to save our lives from a puma or somebody hating our record, right, which we both interpret as deadly. We simply take the first step towards our goal, the tiniest step in the world. I flew an airplane. It's something I always wanted to do. My first step, break it down this small, was to approach my chair in my studio with intention. From there, I Google flight times in Santa Monica. A month later, I'm flying a Cessna.
It's a great book. It's called Let Me Out, Unlock Your Creative Mind and Bring Your Ideas to Life. The author, Peter Himmelman, a longtime musician, 30-plus years, Minneapolis born, lives in L.A. Thanks so much for being my guest tonight here for Chicago Ideas Week. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Justin.